You might like to turn in your Bible, I think, to 1 John and chapter 4. And in the hours that we have had in the last couple, 3 days here, we were reminded that we can get so caught up in just trying to figure out the Bible, Ken, and truth, and we're trying to figure out our humanness and God and how to exercise and enjoy, if possible, a reality. And in the process of, like the study you had on TULIP and all that, you don't have any reality. You actually have set it up to never have reality, because it's impossible. So we don't want to do that. And we tried in a feeble way to try to get you to understand that's the whole problem. We get all tied up in ourselves, in systems, trying to find the little oasis somewhere, the little bit of heaven, the little bit of help that would just give us a wonderful hope in the light of tomorrow. And it's hard to find it in the darkness when there's no light. And so when you try to say this and this, you're missing out. You're missing out on all of the wonderful simplicity of truth. People don't like that. So therefore, we'll keep going. Now, in the process, 1 John, in the light of our sessions together. And in 1 John chapter 4, may I go, if I can, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, put to the proof the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So there's all kinds, as we shared, all those different things, that everything's out there to keep you in the dark. And if you're trying to get light, you'll only find a whole lot of obstacles and opponents to try to get it. And often, they're in your own heart, because our old, our inside of us, houses, we carry, Galatians 5, 19, 20, we carry idolatry, we are. Idolatry in the world is in us. That's why you find idolatry, because we house it. We house deception. Why can we get deceived? We house it. So we own all these things. So where do they come from? Us. They aren't just coming out of the space. We already have them. And when they're just, all you got to do is nourish them and help them, and they're going to pop out. And they're all there. So the spirits are there, and God is trying to help us, who made us in his image and likeness by way of his wonderful person and work on Calvary's cross. Therefore, verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So how we God's wonderful person, God the Holy Spirit. What are you looking for? I'm looking to see if you understand that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. God the Father presented himself to humans in a way that they could touch, see everything, if they would take it. And that's why the Spirit of God's ministry, trying to add to pieces, chapter 16, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, about what? The Spirit of God is going to convict the world of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to take care of all of our sin. Of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ is the right one to do the job, and he provides the right answer in the right way for the right reasons. He does so. And all of it started because the prince of this world is judged. And the devil is judged. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. So, and what's the Spirit of God doing? He's trying to convict the world that Jesus Christ is God. And how's he doing it? With believers. And believers need to understand, that's the test. Do you have a relationship to Jesus Christ, not because he did something wonderful back then, or he's some special prophet, like the Islam or something? No, he's God. And you're to know him and receive him as your Savior. So if you have done that, the Spirit of God's looking to see who has and who isn't saved. And that's what the Spirit of God is writing. And therefore, moving quickly, over to 1 John chapter 5. And in chapter 5, picking up in 1 John, we have a statement. Several statements, but going for a time's sake a little bit. Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Now, what are you going to tell us, God, about your Son? God the Father telling about God the Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness, where? In himself. He that believeth not, how? Why? Because when you received him as your Savior, you have the witness. Well, we shared all of that, and we share that over and over again. If anyone wants to absorb it, that's there. That's why we're saved. And we have the witness. It isn't out there. It's in here. And the Spirit of God's looking to see who has that and who doesn't. And that's what we need to understand, because there's a spirit of error and the spirit of truth. Now, so if I can, in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, the testimony, that God gave of his Son. And God is making it very clear who he is and what he said. And thus, if we can, verse 11. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now, and so God, you're trying to help us, and that when we know the Lord as our Savior, we actually have to know you, God, because there's no way to know you, the only Savior, the only God, apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to receive him. That's the way it is. So now, therefore, if that's true, these things have I written. That's why we read them, because he wrote them, Genesis to Revelation. All scripture is God-breathed. The words, God gave them, and 40 different individuals approximately, were pens and wrote down what God had to say. And there's no contest, because there's no other God to say anything. So there's no argument with it. There's no other God. Book of Mormon and the Quran, that's only what people say. Only God said, Bible, Genesis to Revelation, thus saith the what? Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. No question. Only book, I said it 5,000 times if I said it once. The only book in all of the world that says God. God is saying what he has to say. The only book in all the world. So you never have to say, well, where am I going to find God? Or what book am I going to find? There's only one in all the world. And that's God's word. That's wonderful. There is no other one. So if you want to know, here's the book. Now, having said that, then the thing that I wanted to catch on, verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, know intuitively, know. This isn't like knowing. There's another word, know. First grade, second grade, third grade, you're knowing. First grade, you go to the second grade, you're knowing. This isn't that word. That's one kind of know. This is a know that you know. Right now, most of you know you're alive. You don't have to, it's just knowing. You just know. It's a know. Things are written so that you know. Know what? That you have eternal life. You know it. You're a know-so believer. I know so. Why? Because God, I receive the Son of God. He that hath the Son hath life. So I have to know. That's what I'm supposed to be, a know-so. Not someone that's trying to find their way in the wilderness and going down the corridor. And remember, we shared that without doing all of that. Anyway, in the process, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. So God, what an awesome thing. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to lock on to us the Word. He's given us His Word, and His wonderful ministry is to exercise the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without it, it won't work. It can't work because God has to make it work. If you want God's eternal life, God's uncreated life, eternal life, these things have I written that you might know. That requires God. You can't have anything of God apart from God. God's person is required to know that. You want hope? God. Christ is our hope. He's our life. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's our righteousness. On and on and on and on and on. He is. Apart from Him, where's your righteousness? Where's mine? Where is it? Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. Where's your hope? And then there, you don't have it. All you can do, and that's why I don't think you're going to see in these last days, the people that want to do go to church for the most part, don't really want to grow. All they want to have a bit of, they want to be Christian as opposed to the cultist and communist, etc. They want to be Christian. But they don't want to grow. And God, you're asking God to raise up Apostle Paul, as it were. And they don't want the Apostle Paul. Who wants to grow? That means you've got to change your life. All of this stuff is supposed to be vibrant in you, growing and knowing and developing. And that, people don't want that. They go to church, they don't want that. They just want something that looks good and feels good, and they were telling me, I don't understand. You people know all this better than I do. They were telling me in the churches up there where they came from, they're going out the door, and before they can get to their car, their dress is off. Not I had to, let me re-say that. I got to redo that. By the time they get to the car, they have changed their clothes from a dress to pants. And whatever they're doing, everything is stripped down, the suit's off, everything's on, and they change their clothes because they're out now, free to go. I said, I don't believe that. But that's what they do. I said, that's what they do. Pastor told me that. I said, I don't believe it. Something's wrong somewhere. I got to tell you. And they do it. Wow. So we mean I don't think there's a hunger. That's why we don't find it. So now, I didn't mean to get sidetracked. Over, if you would please, to Ephesians. I just thought that was rather interesting. If I can, in Ephesians. And in chapter 1. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make it real. He's the one that's testing 1 John 4, 2. The Spirit of God is testing to see if you're in the truth, to know the difference between right and wrong, truth and error, the Spirit of God, the spirit of demons. So now, here's Ephesians, and just getting the thought in the middle of it all, the Spirit of God is going to be exalted. How can we have the wonderful truths of the book of Ephesians? All of them. And I'm going to read you just one so you aren't even, you don't have something to lock on to. just the right in the beginning, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already blessed us already. So it isn't something you're looking for. It's whether you exercise it. It's already given. Hath blessed us with A-L-L, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now that's an awesome truth. It'd be like saying, I have a little thing. Well, it's like going and having all of the resources of the government, and they do have them. And what can't they do with all of those resources? And the person that had access to all of them in a very loose and way, practical way, there's nothing they couldn't do. Wow. God, you have given us as for the ownership of all of those truths that belong to Jesus Christ as joint heirs in heaven. We already have them. That's awesome. I think that's awesome. Are we appropriating them? We're going around as if we were bankrupt. That's what people do. Now, so God, Him we are looking, so I'm trying to get the Spirit of God's ministry is to make sure you enjoy the truths. Thus, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So God, you want us to know in a most awesome way who you are and what you're like and all of our benefits. That's right. I want you to know these things are written that you will know. So you want to hope so, guess so, maybe so. No, you're a no-so. Therefore, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of His glory, there it is again, the glory of the Father, of His inheritance in the saints. So in the saint, the believing heart that comes to know the Lord as their Savior is for God's wonderful honor and glory. And the Spirit of God's ministry is looking to make sure the believing hearts are understanding the benefits and are not getting sidetracked by spirits of demons and everyone else, theologically and otherwise, losing the whole thing. Well, maybe that isn't true, or maybe that isn't right, or maybe this, and we're all over the place. Well, we're supposed to know. So, now, having said that, in the light of verse 17 or 18, chapter 3, verse 16, and I'm trying to get you to remind you of, is the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, it won't work. He's the one to make it work. That's His ministry, to make it work. So here's Ephesians chapter 3, and in the prayer and all of that, verse 16, the context. I'll read verse 15. Of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, of that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Glory again, glory, glory, glory. All about the wonderful, wonderful grace and grandeur of God. Riches of the glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. To be strengthened by might by the Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, etc., may know, be able to comprehend, etc., etc. So God, you want us, the Spirit of God's ministry is very much making it possible for us to enjoy and to exercise life, L-I-F-E, that we're to know. Now, slide over to chapter 5 of Ephesians. And you will note, please, in chapter 5, going, if I can, to verse 14. Wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, most carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the day of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, wake up, verse 14. Remember, that's you got the verb again in Romans 13. Awake thou that's, wake up. Your salvation is what? Nearer than when it was yesterday. Are you awake to know that? Are you awake? Here's the word, awake, awake, awake. Wake up, you sleepy head. Now wake up. Now, so therefore, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, that's, we certainly want to know that and how to handle everything rightly. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make you to be able to be circumspect, to be able to understand, to be able to redeem the time, to be able to walk, to be able to live, to be able to do it. That's his ministry, to provide for us everything that we need, everything that we need. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and God has to help us in all this. So now, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of God's ministry is to make it, that's his job. It's wonderful. If you don't get that quite, the Lord Jesus Christ is your life. A person is your life. A person. Not a feeling, not something here that you can't touch it. No more than you can touch yourself. You live inside here. You live inside. And you need to understand that. And you can't, as we did all those things, you live inside. You're a person inside in this body. And God, you are an awesome person, and you're able to go and do exceeding abundant by all that we ask or think. And as we look to you, God, we're looking, and the Spirit of God is going to make possible the person. Jesus, your life is a person, Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make his wonderful life, that and God already had life before he ever did anything. Christ died on the cross and paid the penalty so that we who had lost life, who were dead, that means we had no connection to God, to restore that connection, and Jesus Christ rose again to give us that connection. The connection to God is how? In the person of Jesus Christ. He is our life, the person. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to go and make all that he is inside of the believing heart real. That's his ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ provided it, and God the Holy Spirit makes it all work. Just like he did in Genesis 1:1-2. He brooded over the earth, the canvas, and the Spirit of God put it all together. The birth of the Virgin Mary, Luke chapter 1. And the Spirit of God brooded, and she conceived. You receive the Lord as your Savior, and you're born again, spiritual birth. And the Spirit of God makes it all real. And I need to know that. I need to understand that. So I'm not looking for something that I could touch or something that's going to happen or something outside. When I come to know the Lord as my Savior, I need to know the awesomeness of this all. So now Romans 8, picking up if I can, in verse 14, which we did the other day a little bit anyway. Verse chapter 8 and in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, sons, the full blossom sons, children. By way of the Son, you come to know the Lord as your Savior, and God makes you a child of God. God makes you also / a son of God. And thus, the word L-E-D, led, is the word rule, to govern. The Spirit of God, as many as are ruled, he is the outworking of the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's his ministry. He's the ruler. And he governs. So we're looking to God, and we understand God, the Holy Spirit, that's his ministry to make that happen in a most wonderful way for us. Now, in the process of that, if I can, over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And you'll see it again, taking time to do that. Galatians chapter 5, just to lock it on, in the light of how am I going to handle my hot life and my old nature. Galatians chapter 5, picking up, you'll see the word, in the verb, verse 18. 5 and 18. But if you be led, there's your little word, of the Spirit of God, that's the one who's leading, ruling, governing, you are not under the law. So how am I going to be to measure up? Well, I'm not going to do it under the law. I'm going to do it under grace. So God, you're going to do a wonderful thing for me to make all of these wonderful things happen in my life as I trust you and look to you with all my heart. I'm going to do so. Now, and as doing so, back over if I can while we're doing it, John chapter 5, John chapter 15 better again. John chapter 15, and picking up, if I may, remember the Spirit of God's ministry is to make it all work. That's why we're going to be filled, controlled. He's the ruler, he's the governor, and he calls the shots out working it. And if you and I read, again, we didn't do it, in Romans 8 and 26 and 27, pick it up maybe, in the process, the Spirit of God is praying for the believer in the heart. What is he doing? He's back and forth with God the Father and God the Son, outworking the good works that God has prepared from the foundation of the world for you. That's his ministry. And we don't know how to pray for as we ought, but he does. And that's his ministry as we go, work, home, school, play, coming, going, hard, easy, much, little. The Spirit of God's ministry is to be looking to outwork. Here he is in the heart, the believing heart, and in the light of all of God's wonderful plan and purpose, and he's outworking that. And that's what he's doing. So how can we don't even know how to pray like that. How do you know what the next 10 minutes are like? You don't. God does. How do you know how your mind's going to go in the next 20 minutes? You don't. God does. So we're trusting God. We aren't trying to trust ourselves because that won't go anywhere. We can't be confident in it. That we do to a reasonable extent, but we really don't. We trust it, but we don't trust it. Now, so here in John chapter 15, picking up in verse 5, as you know, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You can't do anything without me. Well, that's clear enough, and we already have been. The branch needs the tree in order to have leaves and fruit. You can't have a branch laying on the ground out in the blacktop and expect it to go anywhere. It has to be attached. It can't have leaves fall off if it isn't attached. It has to have leaves grow and come and bugs, but the branch just keeps staying alive and growing. So you have to be attached to the Lord in that way, vine and the branch abiding in order to, and without it, you can't do anything. No, you can't. And in order to be a branch abiding, how do we do that? We can't keep hanging on to God like this. How are we going to hang on to God? And do it. You can't do that. And God, it says abide. Well, how do you abide? How's that for a question for you? How do you abide? Is that right? Now, I know you're abiding reasonably in the pew because you're sitting on it and it's holding you. So you do that part. Now, how do you abide in Christ? I'm interested. Think of that. Think of how do you actually do that? How are you doing it, if you do it? How do you do it? Well, God said, without it, you do what? You can do everything. You can preach and teach and sing and go, but without me. That's our system. Wow. Now, so God, the Lord, in all of this help that he gives before his crucifixion, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And you hear of verse 26. But when the Comforter, the Spirit of God, when the over to chapter 14, hold your finger, we're going to go very quickly. Chapter 14, and picking up, if I may, in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and is in you. Back over to chapter 15, verse 26. And when the Comforter, the Spirit of whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So that's how we're going to do it. How are we going to know it? And he also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So here with God, the Spirit of God's ministry is to make real and right your relationship to God in the person of Christ with all of the benefits. And God, you've given us your life so that we can have your likeness. If I don't have your life, how can I be your life? I want to be like you. I can't. I got to have your life to be like you. Wow. And I've got to have your light, in order to walk rightly. How am I going to walk in the dark? Christ in you is he's the light of the world. The Spirit of God's ministry is to give us light. So that what? What do you mean? So that you know the will of God. In the darkness, you can't see, but God does. And you go, because you're walking in the dark, but in the light. And so you can go. You can go. You say, I don't know what's ahead. I don't know where it is. But God does. And you're looking to him. So in the dark, you're walking in the light. Wow. Now, and so chapter 16. You can't do it. The Spirit of God's ministry is to make it happen. And this is going to happen without him. You can read all the wonderful promises of Jesus Christ is this and this and that, the bread of life. He's everything. You couldn't enjoy one drop of that without the Spirit of God. All you can do is be intellectually trying to deal with it and look at it and analyze it and try to make it look okay, instead of simply enjoying being alive and breathe. Most of you enjoy that? Breathing? Don't you? And you don't work at it? Just lay down and breathe. Breathe. That's what to do. Wow. And just enjoy it. And when you have trouble, then you're concerned, of course. But normally, we just breathe. And that's what we do. God, what did you want us to do? I wanted you to enjoy being alive. And the Spirit of God's ministry is that's what you're doing. You're trusting me and enjoying his ministry. Not your efforts and your wisdom and your power and your intellect and your understanding. No, you're resting in his wonderful ministry to produce and reproduce and in you life. Simple life, like breathing. And that's his ministry. You leave him out, then you're busy. You're trying to think of lordship, salvation, and all those different things with the reformed and all of that. Trying to do this. Okay, now, and thus, verse 6, chapter 16, and in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but what shall hear, shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify, there's your underline, he shall glorify me, not you and me, but him, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In other words, the Spirit of God is to take all that the Son of God has made possible and to deliver it into your heart. Special delivery into your heart. So you have it. That's what his ministry is. And you didn't earn it. You didn't have to go beg for it and hunt for 10 years. He delivered it in the person of Jesus Christ. When you open the package, Everything's in it that you need forever. It doesn't come piecemeal, you know. The piece here and another piece, another piece. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, all those nine fruits. And now we're going to need peace. What you need is a simple, wonderful trusting of God in His marvelous person. And when you do that, you have all of those fruits at once. Remember it says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit, singular. And then it names 9,000 of them. When you've got a right relationship abiding in the tree, you got all that the tree possesses flowing through you. All you got to do is appropriate it intelligently and biblically and realistically and rightly, all because God, the only creator, the only savior, did it, makes it possible. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, let us try one other thing. Over, if you would please, to, we looked at glory, and we need to just lock that in a little bit, perhaps, personal for us. And Exodus chapter 40. Exodus in chapter 40. And you'll remember when, you know all these things, when the tabernacle was finished, Exodus 40, when it was finished, it was everything was put in place where God had designed it and put it in. It was His blueprint and His craftsmanship. He gave the skill for people to do everything they had to do. They didn't have to find a craftsman. God made the craftsman to do exactly what He wanted to do. God's wonderful person. Now, so Exodus chapter 40, picking up, please, in the light of the dedication of that, I'll give it just, and verse 33. And he reared up the court around about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the cloud, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So Moses, you couldn't go in. The priests don't go in. No one goes in. God's in there. Hang on to that. God was mocking. It's His place. His place. Over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. Again, as you know, remembering Solomon's wonderful temple that he built by way of blueprint. And chapter 8, picking up in the light of that, verse 10. And it came to pass that when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. God was setting it apart, so that the priests could not stand to minister. Why? Because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. The glory filled the house. So it was so full, it was just full. And God was there, and everyone had to stand outside. Wow. Now that, because God was there. Now, go over with me, please. Over to, over to John. John, the Gospel of John. John chapter 17. Picking up, if I may, in verse, remember verse 24, it's worth repeating to my, at least for me. Verse 24, Father, our Lord, before He goes out to His crucifixion, Father, I will that they be also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am. What for? Purpose. That they may behold what? My glory, which Thou hast given Me. Where did the glory come from? It's the glory of God. For Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. So God, what are You looking for? Here we are in Your presence. And what are we looking? What are You looking for, God? I'm looking for You to be with me where I am. That's why present tense, the Lord said, I'm coming. Are you ready? I'm looking for that blessed hope. I'm coming. Why did you say that, God, in the present tense? I'm looking for you to be there. Time isn't an issue, remember, with God. It's with us. 1,000 years are nothing to God. There's no time. God, you're looking for us to be there. That's right. So we're looking to be there. If we're with it, we're looking to go. And in the meantime, God, what are we going to have? Chapter 17, verse 22. And the glory, the Lord said, the glory which thou hast given, gavest me, I have given them, the reason that they may be one even as we are one. So God, what have you done? You who possess the glory, chapter 17, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, before I put on a human house, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, back over to verse 22. I have given them my glory. Temple, tabernacle, no one. Colossians 1:27, and all. Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. No, yes. Not in the tabernacle, not in the temple, but right now, Christ, the glory of God, in the believing heart. God put the glory smack dab in the middle of you. And that's what it's all about. That's the beginning of what? God, it's all about God's wonderful person, as we've been trying to consider in our studies. It's all about God. I can't wait for you to be where I am, to see the wonder of it all. And here we are in bodies, frail dust, struggling, trying to find churches, religions, and everything going. And we don't lock on to what? These things have I written unto you that you may what? No. I want you to know. If you're up in the air, ooh, all over, then you don't enjoy anything. You don't enjoy it. No. If you're on the battlefield, and military or otherwise, and you're out there in the battlefield, and you're going to have days that it isn't too bad, and you're going to have days that are terrible, and boy, you aren't sure you're going to live through the day. You don't know. Man, it's hard. But you know what? If you know why you're there, do you know what? It doesn't bother you. One day a little easier, not too many bullets. The next day, lots of bombs. But you know, it doesn't, it's all right. You know why you're there. That's part of the dear men coming back. They have a closer, like police, firemen, military. They're out there. Their lives depend on each other. When you come back here, who cares about you? They aren't dependent. No one cares about what you used to have people that cared. That's part of why they have a suicide rate so high. I got to quit. I hope we didn't get very far. But did you get a little bit? It's an awesome thing. We didn't even touch the surface. And you know all this stuff, but you got to put it together. You got to make it work in here. You got to have ownership of this. I don't want to just say it. I want it in me. I'm not going to tell you something I don't know. I couldn't even do it. The man is the message. He is the message. He's supposed to be. God help us. It's a different world. Wow. It's an awesome thing. And so, God, it's an awesome thing you've done for us. And I just want you guys and girls to be encouraged. That God, what God hasn't, you don't, you, I hope you aren't looking for God to do something in my life. God has already done it if you received him as your Savior. You need to enjoy it. And believe. You aren't going to make God it isn't going to happen because you do it. God has done it. So if you're asking him, remember the illustration in the process, the girl comes up and says, your little girl says, back years ago, I need a nickel. I need a nickel for the candy bar. A big Babe Ruth for a nickel. And we're going to get a Babe Ruth for a nickel. And I need a nickel. And then you put the nickel out and put it in their hand, and they close their hand and put it in their pocket. And then they think about it, and they come and say, Dad, I need a nickel for a candy bar. God said, I already gave you a nickel. You forgot that when you asked him the first time, he already gave it to you. You forgot that. When you received the Lord as your Savior, he gave you himself. And we forget, like the nickel. And we're busy asking God for something. He said, I've already given it to you. And guess what? I didn't give my daughter a second nickel. I didn't give her a second nickel. You work with the nickel I gave you. You work with what I've done for you. I'm waiting. That's the trouble. You need to be trusting me and letting me produce. You can't produce it. No, you can't. But he can. That's why you yield. Reckon yourself dead and alive unto God. Yield yourselves. Present yourselves to God. Be available. It's a wonderful thing. And enjoy just the simplicity of eating and drinking to what? And doing and working to the glory of God. How am I going to do that? You know, jobs aren't always pleasant. Politics, power. The system isn't nice. The world isn't nice. The world isn't fair. If you're waiting for the world to be fair, you don't have a long enough wait. You can't live long enough. The world isn't going to be equal. It isn't that way at all. The world's cruel. Like we shared, out in the football field, someone did the other day. You're out on the football field, and everyone in the stands, you're away from home on planet Earth, and the Earth is under the prince of the power of the air, and the whole stands are cheering against you. Do you understand that? So you're looking to why don't you guys like us? They hate you because you're children of the light. You're believing God, trusting God, and they hate God. And I just, why can't people like me? What do you want? If you're going to love God, he said they're going to hate you, really. So we don't want to be that nice. We want to be nice, rightly, and look to God. And he does a wonderful thing for us. We try to be reasonable, right? But we aren't going to be dark. And we aren't going to do it wrong. God help us.